High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning, everybody. We're back. I guess the system is in spring mode, but we're in fall mode with football here. It's actually Sunday Morning Quarterback, and we're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, served fast. We appreciate the support again from Dutchess. It's football season, and as you can tell by the weather today, a little chill in the air for beginning of September. We're in football mode, and we've got a great preview show for you today as we get ready for the season openers on Thursday. We're going to be talking to a couple of players, Easton Price of Norwalk and Will Zaccanino of St. Joseph, and a couple of coaches, Augie Thierry from Danbury and Lou Marinelli of New Canaan. And the person I like talking to most, we're back at it again for the third year, my co-host Sean Ireland. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. I almost enjoy this time of year more than the playoff time, because everybody's 0-0, everybody has high hopes, and everybody's ready to go. This is my favorite time of year.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped up now, too, after I've been to 15 of the 16 teams. I'm going to try to make the 16th one, if possible, in the next day or two. But I've been cranking out the previews, and I'll tell you, yesterday I started setting up. I want to pick, as I do every year, my top 8, my top 10. And I'll tell you, Sean, I think there's more question than I can remember in terms of what the order is. I think New Canaan's number 1. But I'll tell you what, the people at St. Joseph right now can make a pretty compelling argument. I think Greenwich is lost a lot, but they're in the mix. You can never discount them. They may, just because of their inexperience, more so because we don't really know who's there yet, I would probably put them at 3rd. And then after that, you've got, I feel good with Ludlow at 4th, and then we got a log jam from 5 through 10. How do you see it so far?
Dave, I agree. I have one small change. No disrespect to anybody. I have St. Joe's as number 1. I just think this is their year, and again, how can I say that after New Canaan is going undefeated 2 years in a row, and they still got a lot? But I just think this is St. Joe's year. I have New Canaan 2, Greenwich 3, and I have Ludlow 4. I think you can pick the top 4. You can rearrange them any way you want, but I think they're the legit top 4. And then number 5, Dave, last night I had Staples. Today I have Darien. You could throw Ridgefield. Like, there's so many teams that you can throw in that top 5 spot, but you just don't know yet.
I'm more puzzled than I ever have been. Usually, I think there's a clear-cut pecking order at the top, and I can't argue with you if you want to say St. Joseph. If the quarterback situation was a little bit more settled, I could see it more clearly. They're loaded everywhere else between the returning players. That defense is going to be as good as any defense in the state. I just think the quarterback is a big question mark, and I think New Canaan at least has earned the right to be number 1. I think St. Joseph was 4 in the opening poll. I voted them 2nd. I just think right now, if you go Staples, Darien, Trumbull, Ridgefield, and I'll put Danbury and Norwalk at least in the conversation right now. I think if you played like a round robin with all those teams right now, I think the first place team would have a couple losses.
I agree 100%, Dave. When we talked yesterday, you know, we said we're going to come up with our top list. Not to repeat myself, I think the top 4 I got, but then I'm like, man, we haven't even said Wilton. I know Wilton graduated a lot.
I'm sorry, put Wilton in there. Just an oversight. Wilton's definitely in the mix there, too.
Yeah, 5 through 10, if those teams, I think, you know, if they all played 5 games, I think they would all be 3-2 against each other. I think it's good for the league, too. We're going to find out a lot in the first couple of weeks, but I think it's awesome for the league that we have this many teams that we can talk about this early.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's going to make it more fun, and a little bit we'll get to opening games, because there's definitely a little bit of intrigue going on there. You know, New Canaan is just, they're on a 23-game winning streak, and they got their quarterback back. They've got two of their top offensive linemen back, and they've got a couple of guys. I'm not going to call him the next Andrew Esposito because that's unfair to put any kind of pressure on anybody. But a name people may not know right now, Charlie Koch. Keep a watch on him. He's going to be a dynamic wide receiver. He'll be their leading wide receiver. And you got Finn Mocco back. You just got a whole bunch of talent there. And the thing with New Canaan is, the names change, but the level of play stays the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a factory over there, you know, and it's credit to Lou and his entire staff and, you know, really the whole community, the whole town buys into what they're doing over there. You know, I really had a tough time putting St. Joe's number one, but because of everything you just said about New Canaan. But, man, they're down, like, they haven't lost a game in over 2 years. It's just crazy what they do over there. The fact that they have the quarterback coming back is huge. Like, you always want a returning quarterback. You know, they're going to be playing, I don't want to jinx anything, they're going to be playing late in December, if not the last day of December again.
And that's, if you want to use the word program, that's a true program. And it's either their first, I think it's their second game with Fairfield Prep. It's youth football night, and I always tell everybody, if you want to know why New Canaan has this long-term sustained success, come to youth football night where they bring all the kids out into the field. There's 250 and 300 kids there, and they're all learning the system and how the varsity team plays. It's a feeder program. It's their minor leagues. They're coached really well. It's just the ultimate. It's like a Division III program. But, you know, St. Joseph's sustained success, and you just look at the names, you know, Zach Anino, Kyle Wicker, Jake Rios, Finn Kilmartin. You got Jermaine Daniel, who transferred from Brian McMahon. I know they have a couple of other transfers they've got over there. You know, just a big loss with H.T. Jones, who transferred to follow his baseball pursuits. So, if you brought him back, it would be a real interesting discussion, and it still is. And then, you know, Greenwich, they got Tarantino back. They got Justin Carroll. And then several intriguing teams, and one of them for me is Fairfield Ludlow in terms of returning talent. They're right up there with the best, and they're just going to be really strong on both sides of the ball. The only thing you always worry about with Ludlow is depth. And do they have – are they going to have injuries with playing two ways when you get into December football? Are they going to get worn down? If they stay healthy, watch out for them. This is going to be their best team I think they've ever had.
I agree with that. And Dave, you're right. You know, when they're healthy, you know, they're very good. And it showed last year. I mean, they were beating Cheshire. I think it was Cheshire. They're winning that game, and then Love goes down with an injury, and unfortunately they just couldn't hold on. Where if he stays healthy, I think Ludlow is playing for a state championship last year. What Mitch is doing over there, you can put it, man, I'm going to compare it to like what Dave Catalina did at Bridgeport Central. You know, like what he's doing over there consistently, you know, credit to Mitch and his staff also, but I think they're going to make, if they stay healthy, they're going to make a very deep run.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Catalina. That's what I was going to make a comparison there. I remember when Mitch came in, and this is his 10th year, and people just said, you can't win at Fairfield Ludlow. You can't win at Fairfield Ludlow. And you go there for a 6 o'clock kickoff on Friday nights, and the nest is out in full force, and it's just it's exciting there again. And you know, with Love back, you got Carlos Noecker, you have Timmy O'Neill. It's just a real loaded team, and it's going to be interesting to watch. Why don't we take our first break here, and Sean and I will be back to discuss the league, look at this week's games, actually. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and no baseball, we're talking football right now. I just sent out an email reminding they forgot to make the spring transition there. Why don't we bounce around a couple more teams, and then just because we have so many guests, I want to make sure we get in a little look at Thursday, and then we could piggyback if we have some time afterwards. But, I just have no idea with traditional powers like Darien, Staples, Wilton, Ridgefield. I just don't know what to expect because there's been so much turnover there. And that's not to say that there's talent. We just don't know the names yet. I really have no idea what to expect from any of them or what order to put them in.
Yeah, I think Ridgefield is very good. The problem is, and again, if you're good, you're good. Their schedule is brutal. You know, they play at Maloney, Staples, Danbury, Ludlow, Trumbull, Greenwich, Darien, and Wilton. You know, and they open up at Ward with Coach Christie, you know, who's obviously, you know, he has a proven track record of you know, doing great things. So, you know, they that's a brutal schedule for them. You know, I still think they're a very, very good team. You know, I don't know who Jamie Reed ticked off, but that's a tough one.
No, you're right. I can tell you, and I forgot to send you the video, but I know there's at least one really good defensive lineman because he drove the quarterback back into me and knocked me over at practice on Monday. I proved I could take a hit, little burn on the knee and a little bruised ribs, but there's one guy, literally it looked like he drove him back so quickly. I tried to watch where I stand. You would have thought they said, you know, we'll give $100 to the first guy who could take Rudin out because that's the way it looked. Maybe they weren't happy with the coverage last year. No, I could take a hit. But, no, I agree with everything you said on Ridgefield. You know, Wilton, they just were so senior-laden last year, but they have one of the best players coming back in Denny Dustin. Yep. He's going to be a game breaker, and I think they have good play on the line. And EJ's just Denuncio. He's just laying low right there. I think he'd be very happy if we didn't discuss them at all. You know, Darien, a lot of turnover. New quarterback Hugh Dunlap. I'll tell you what. I went last Saturday to watch them scrimmage Greenwich. I think they're going to run the ball really well. I just don't know again about anywhere else. But you know they have. Liam Bortle back at running back, and you have Joe Roach and Will Premersa. At the very least, I feel good about their running game. I just don't know. And again, I think we're both saying we're not saying that they're not going to be good. We just we don't know the players, and there's so many new faces there.
Yeah, right now I have Darien as the fifth team. That's what I have. You know, they got a crazy opening matchup against St. Joe's. We'll find out a lot, you know, at the end of this week. But I have them at five. I think Andy, you know, he's going to get the crew ready to go. But again, if you told me Staples, I would agree. I don't know, Dave. I just don't know. But as of right now, at 11:22 on Sunday morning, I have Darien as our fifth team.
You know what? I think one reason also it's difficult. Almost all these teams have new quarterbacks. Other than you look at all these teams, Norwalk's got Easton Price back, who'll be joining us in a little bit, and you've got Jake O'Keefe back at Danbury. All these teams have new quarterbacks. I know there are playmakers over at Staples. Hunter Palloy is another name to watch. Lacrosse star Nate Murillo, I'm blocking on his name right now, the linebacker. But I think there's some players there. Again, you could we know three or four of the names, but it's going to be hard to – we're going to need a week or two. You always need a week or two to be able to tell in any sport who's got what. And when we're talking after a couple of games, it'll be a little bit more clarity for us. But as we look ahead to Thursday – yeah, I agree with you. We got St. Joseph against Darien in Darien, and that's probably the marquee game. There's one other game that we'll talk about that hits close to home for you. That's really interesting. But you know, we're gonna find out where Darien stands right now. They're gonna find out where they stand because they're gonna go up against one of, if not the best, in the cadets. And yeah, I don't even know what the line is. I think St. Joe's is a heavy favorite right now. And again, we're basing it on returning talent, but I'm kind of curious. I feel like I know what St. Joseph's got, and I think with the uncertainty at quarterback, I think at the very least they're going to throw a short passing game and get guys in space that can take off, and they got the athletes. I'm really intrigued to see what Darien's going to be able to do.
Yeah, it's definitely the marquee matchup of week one. There's a couple other games, but this is the one that everybody's going to be talking about. I think Joe Delvecchio, I think he's going to do a great job, you know, having a new quarterback, you know, letting the game come to the quarterback. I don't think he's going to force anything early on, you know, a couple easy reads, a couple short passes, you know, let the flow of the game come and then maybe take a shot later on. I just think St. Joe's has too much, especially on defense. I mean, at the end of the season, they're going to end up averaging less than, you know, a touchdown a game given up. That's how good they are. You know, but we'll see. You know, Darien, if you look in the, you know, the past 10 years, Darien, they're up there with everybody. You know, Andy's doing a great job. So, you know, I think St. Joe's is going to come out on top. But we'll see.
We're going to find out right away how good that Darien running game is, or at least how Darien could do against the very best against a really good defense. And they've got a lot of turnover on their own defense. It's going to be interesting. Why don't we pop over then to our four-time defending Class L champion, New Canaan. And that's another interesting game with Trumbull, a Trumbull team that's, did we mention Trumbull in terms of mix? Is that another oversight? Trumbull's in the mix there. I don't remember if we mentioned them or not, but Trumbull's in the mix. They've got a lot back, and I guess the big story there, Mars Petrasio, who won a bunch of league and state titles running the option, he's going back to the option, and he's got a great quarterback in Braden Jago, and the intro said bats and sticks, and if you forget, he's the player who in the state championship game with Staples hit a game-tying home run in the seventh inning. So he's a stud. He's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's got a really good arm, but we're going to see the Eagles run the option. Are they going to be able to run that option successfully against the Rams?
Yeah, Trumbull at New Canaan is the third game that I have written down as a big game, more so for Trumbull. Let's see how they stack up against, you know, arguably the best team in the state. You know, Trumbull had a couple down years, you know, but, you know, I know they're excited. You know, they're ready to go. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think New Canaan is going to come out. They're going to come out excited. They're going to come out fired up. I think they're going to beat Trumbull, I think. But we'll see where Trumbull stands. You know, if it's a competitive game, if Trumbull comes out on top, you know, a five now, but if it's a competitive game and they're in there to the end, you know, they'll also move up as well.
Yep. I think both the games we mentioned, we've got somewhat heavy favorites, and the intrigue is to see how these other potential top five teams, top six teams play against them and what it means for them long term. And then, you know, the game that I think we're in agreement, that I know we're in agreement on, is the most interesting and maybe the most important for both teams involved, is you have Norwalk going to Wilton. Norwalk just missed out on the state playoffs last year, 6-4 and was one win away and lost to Ludlow by a point in overtime is one of those losses. All their losses were to eventual state playoff teams. And they're going to Wilton. And again, we talked about all the changeover there. Wilton got to the state semifinals, lost by a point to Bunnell. And yeah, I'll tell you what, with both their schedules, really, really, really big game for both teams.
Yeah. Dave, we talked about this maybe at the beginning of the summer. We talked again about this game, you know, a couple weeks ago, and then yesterday. I think for importance of games, this is number one on the list. I think whoever wins, Wilton or Norwalk, I think they're going to be very excited and they can go on a little run. You know, and then whoever loses, you know, it's tough to, you know, when you have a big game this early on in the season, it's kind of tough, you know, if you don't come out on top. But I think whoever wins, they're in the driver's seat to have a great year and eventually maybe even playing in the postseason.
I guess just based on tradition, I would make Wilton a slight favorite. I think they've earned that respect, and I don't think that's disrespectful to Norwalk. It's just, again, Easton Price, who's going to be joining us shortly, you've been over there. You see him all the time. He's a game breaker and a difference maker.
I think Easton Price, I think he could be the best athlete in the league. Are there, you know, maybe a player here, a player there better, but I'm talking about in terms of being an athlete, I think you can make the argument he's the best athlete in the league. And, you know, when you have the best athlete and he touches the ball in every single offensive snap, you know, he could break it at any time. You know, look back to the Greenwich game last year where I think he busted like two runs over 80 yards for touchdowns. So even if they're pinned deep in their own territory, you know, the line breaks down, there's great coverage. Okay, now you got a kid running out of the backfield that you can't stop. So it's going to be a tough game, but I like Norwalk.
Okay. I think it could go either way. And, you know, I agree with you about Easton, 1,337 yards passing, 1,184 rushing, 35 touchdowns combined. Enough said. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to start our parade of guests with Will Zaccanino of St. Joseph in the leadoff spot. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and waiting on Will Zaccanino to join us from St. Joseph. Sean, you're at Norwalk. Any other information you can give us about the Bears? I'm sure you see a lot of the players around school.
Yeah, everybody, for rightfully so, they're going to be focusing on Easton, but they got two running backs that are very good, like very, very good. So, they're very athletic in the backfield. They got a couple guys returning up front. So if they just focus on Ethan, you know, CK Virtus and Bentley Samuel, they're going to have their day, you know, running the ball. Bentley started at Norwalk High. They moved to West Haven. Now he's back. He's back at Norwalk High. Pleasure to have on the team because he's very good. So you can't just focus on one guy this year.
Yeah, I think CJ's one of the next breakout players. Yeah, kind of like what Denny Dustin did last year, where we didn't really know him in the preseason too much, and we did now. Does it make all the curiosity and all the uncertainty? Does that add to the excitement for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you could see it with the team. You know, they scrimmaged Naugatuck the other day. You know, the long, long bus ride. I guess Naugatuck came out and kind of, you know, pushed them around on the first drive, and then Naugatuck bounced right back. You know, so, you know, there is excitement right now in the school. I still follow the team. I'm in the building. You know, I think they could do something. You know, they can make a run this year, but it all starts on Thursday.
You going to the game?
Oh yeah, I'll be there. My son's a freshman on the team now, so I'm sure he's going to want to go to all the games, even the away games. So yeah, I'll definitely be there.
What position does he play?
Wide receiver and safety.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're not going to be one of those like coach sports parents that's going to go nuts from the sideline, are you?
No. You can ask my wife, and you can ask anybody who's been on Jack's teams, baseball, whatever. I'm that parent that, like, if everybody's on the 50-yard line, you see that one person all by themselves, that's me. I just like to watch the game. I don't want to,
You don't seem the type.
Yeah, no. So if you're ever at an Archive freshman game, you see some guy just standing by himself, there's a good chance that's me.
Okay. Well, we've been talking a lot about the Bears, and why don't we talk about the biggest bear of them all, and that's quarterback Easton Pace. Easton, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. What about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Got to spend a lot of time with you the past week between media night and at your practice, but what's the mood going into Wilton?
We're very excited, man. Very happy, you know. Very happy to see what this team can do this year. Wilton's going to be the first look.
Do you guys look at it as we do, how crucial a game it is? Not that either team can't bounce back with a loss, but the advantages that the winning team is going to get in terms of pursuing a state playoff berth?
Yeah, I would say definitely the morale, and it would like definitely build up motivation, you know, towards the whole entire season.
What's the mood of the team after you just missed out? I mean, you could say if you want to really micro break it down to one of your losses, you know, the 1-point loss to Fairfield Ludlow. So you were 6-4, just missed out. How much of a motivator is it for the team?
It motivates us. It's like there's like a fire under us, you know. Like we could have made it. We were so close, you know. It's just 1 point away. It's little mistakes, you know.
How's the team different this year, and how's it similar?
I'd say the team is different because this year, like most of us are all in the same grade. We all grew up together.
How about, I asked you this question, but I know the answer for everybody here, but I mean, you're so dynamic throwing the ball and running the ball. Which do you like? If someone said you could get a touchdown either way, which do you prefer?
Throwing the ball.
I knew you were going to say that. How come?
Throwing the ball is just so much more satisfying, you know, than you can throw the ball at somebody and they catch it. Is so beautiful to me. I don't know. It's like art.
It's more team oriented when you throw in the ball too. How about in terms of when you're back in the pocket and you've got to make the decision to throw or run? Take us through what you're thinking in that situation.
So there's a timer in my head, you know. I go through my progression, 1, 2, 3, nobody's open, the line's closing on me, then I'd run.
I think you know my co-host, Sean. Jump on in.
Hey, Ethan. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing good. What about yourself?
Good, good. Hey, so my question for you, I know your dad's big into physical fitness. He's a trainer. Would you give more credit to your dad or your physical education teacher last year of how you progressed?
I'd say my dad, you know.
Okay, yeah, obviously, I was Easton's teacher last year. So, Easton, obviously, new role this year, captain, you know, what are some things that you're doing differently this year that you are, even though you were a leader last year, now you have the title, you know, obviously, you got kids looking up to you and all that stuff. So, how has that changed your preparation for this year?
Now that I'm older, I'm a captain. It feels like I have a leading role and I have to fulfill it. And I feel like I'm ready to, you know, fulfill that role.
And how does it help now? I don't know if you heard, we were talking about the team, you know, that you have CK back there with you and Bentley. So really all the focus can't be on you. How do you feel about that?
That takes off a ton of pressure and I love it.
Yeah, good. And we just got to make sure CK does not get tracked down on the 5-yard line again like he did last year.
You're right, man. Yeah, he definitely got faster, which is good.
Yeah, I hope so. Ethan, you know, you know who I root for. You know, best of luck this year. You know, starting Thursday.
Whoa, what do you mean root for when we're doing this show?
Yeah, that's true.
Root for? Come on, Sean.
Yeah, you know what I mean. best of luck this year, buddy. You know, and I'll see you Thursday night.
All right, see you there.
Easton, do you see CK as one of the kind of breakout stars for this year? A guy who we know, I mean, he had a good year last year. It's not like nobody knows who he is, but somebody who could really take the next step forward. Easton? We lose Easton.
Maybe. I think when I signed off, I think maybe he thought
I was wondering. Yeah, he just left. He thought, I wanted to ask him to grade the teacher.
Yeah, A+.
Yeah, you lost. He ran from you. You got him to run. So why don't we take a break right now? And when we come back, we're going to talk to Danbury coach Augie Thierry. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school football. It's Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and Sean scared off our first guest of the year. Nice job. He heard you say root for and he ran.
Yeah.
Well, don't scare off our next guest. One of my favorite coaches. I always like to see him on media night, and unfortunately he had a scrimmage, but helped lead Danbury back to the state playoffs after a long drought, and I know he has the expectations of going 2 in a row. And that's Danbury coach Augie Thierry. Augie, how you doing?
Doing good.
What's going on? I got to see you on Monday. How'd the scrimmage go with Wilton?
Went good. It's always competitive between the two of us. And I have a ton of respect for EJ and the job he does with his guys. So it's always a great, you know, test and, you know, kind of get ourselves prepared and do what we got to do to be ready for week one. So we were able to get into the film and reflect on some of the things that happened and correct some of the mistakes and continue to improve on the things that we're doing well. So overall it was great.
You feel like the team's ready for Stanford? Do you like where the team is right now?
I do. I think we're having one of the best off seasons we've had since I've been here. I think all the things that we've done up to this point, you know, we're definitely in a good place and definitely prepared for sure.
Is it a different and parts of why the preseason has gone so well? How much of that would you attribute it to last year's success and the optimism that you all have?
Yeah, that always plays into it for sure. I mean, you know, we were riding high after the season we just had and brought most of the team back. So there's definitely good vibes around the team this entire off season. I think, you know, there's no question that the kids are bought in and, willing to work hard and do all the things that we're asking them to do. And it definitely makes things easier for sure. You know, there's a lot of buy-in and belief in what we're doing. And, you know, a very mature group of kids with a lot of experience working really hard and leading, you know, the rest of the team in every way possible. So, yeah, without a doubt.
What does making the playoffs do both for the program and in terms of building it up to the sustained success you're hoping to have? And what does it just do for the school, too? Because obviously, if you're a football player and you're walking the hallways, it's got to be a great vibe for them. Or to go out, you obviously winning teams get more fans in the stands. So what does it all mean for the program?
Yeah, it's definitely a major lift all around. You know, this community, this city deserves a winning football team. And, you know, that was obviously when I took over 2018, you know, the mission was to rebuild the program and, you know, be in this very situation. So, you know, we have a ton of support in the community, ton of support in the building from administration on down, a lot of football people, you know, that really are passionate about the football program and the direction of the program, and our go above and beyond to support me and our boys. So it's just a great feeling, great vibes all around. And, you know, like I said, just tons of support from the community, the mayor, you name it, everybody's invested in and has our backs. And, you know, it's a great feeling for sure.
I asked you this for the story I wrote. First, what are you most confident about the team right now? What gets you to sleep easily?
What gets me to sleep easy? Nothing. I haven't been sleeping much, to be honest with you. But, Sean knows. I think definitely the confidence I have in our boys that are in the trenches. You know, I'm so proud of our offensive line and how they've developed this offseason. You know, again, we've always had great skill talent, but the game is won and lost in the trenches. And I feel like this year, as much, if not more than ever, we got a great group of kids in there. And, you know, that's definitely got us feeling confident about what we're doing. And just all around, you know, we got key veteran guys in some of the most important positions. Obviously, quarterback, having a 4-year starter there. You know, all the leadership that Jake has shown, our middle linebacker, Fabian Reynoso. You know, these guys are just showing a lot of leadership and a lot of maturity. And that definitely puts your mind at ease going into the season.
And what's the uncertainty that you'll feel better about if it goes well against Stanford on Thursday night?
You know, I just think... Yeah, obviously you want to come out with a win. You know, that's going to be, I'll sleep that night. You know, but beyond that, I don't know. It's a week to week grind. It's day to day. You know, you're just trying to make sure that you're doing everything you can to hold up your end of the bargain. You know, and that's just how it is. You got a great group of kids who are working hard and who are bought in and doing all the right things. You know, you don't want to let them down. Just the amount of prep work and the amount of time and energy that goes into this, you know, it could be exhausting. And obviously, you know, we don't do this full time. We also teach. So it could be a lot, but, you know, pressure is a privilege and we're blessed to have this opportunity. And, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to make sure it comes to fruition.
How big an advantage of it? Not too many coaches get 4-year starting quarterbacks. You do with Jake O'Keefe and a great kid, a great player. How much easier is it for you? And what kind of things can you do that maybe you wouldn't be able to do if you didn't have somebody with that kind of experience?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we definitely, over the past 4 years, you know, we invested in him early, and we obviously saw the potential we knew we had going in. And, you know, with any young quarterback, you go through some growing pains, but, you know, he developed very quickly. His first game was extremely memorable. I think he was the FCAC Player of the Week, an overtime victory against Norwalk. So, you know, we knew that he was going to be special. And obviously at this point, you know, his knowledge and confidence in the system and the offense, his ability to make every throw on the field, you know, he definitely plays that maybe would have went by the wayside, that he creates opportunities with his legs and extending plays. And he's just such a smart kid. He's a mentally and physically tough kid. So it really makes everything obviously a lot easier and enjoyable having a quarterback like that.
I want to talk about your schedule in a second, looking it over, but Sean, jump on in.
Coach, how you doing?
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. So Dave just, he kind of just alluded to it. You know, first off, your quarterback has the best name in the league as somebody named Sean Ireland. Jake O'Keefe is my favorite name in the entire league. Dave just alluded to it. You know, you always like to have a returning quarterback, but the fact that you have a 4-year returning quarterback, know, obviously you throw in a wrinkle here or there, but like, how great is it, you know, on an, you know, during your offensive sessions, knowing that like, hey, we got this leader behind center that, you know, he could probably tell every single player on the field what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I joke sometimes. I say, listen, I'm going to let you call the plays. I'm going to go grab a hot dog from the concession stand.
Yeah.
So he's great. And he has such poise and leadership and he's smart, you know, and the conversations we have when we're preparing for a game plan or whatever the case may be, or reflecting on a practice or watching film, you know, I treat him at this point like an assistant coach and he's earned that, you know, so
yeah.
It's a great feeling, yeah. And for a young kid, for a 17-year-old kid, to have that kind of poise and football IQ and just overall intelligence and maturity, you know, is a blessing. So, no, he's a great kid all around for sure.
Now, Danbury, I think, is very similar to Norwalk in terms of the city itself and the school itself. You know, I remember when we made the playoffs. And you said the whole community, all the way down to the youth program, they got immediately invested. Did you see that like right away, like this off season, you know, with the youth programs, it was just like an injection of energy into football for the town.
Yeah, without a doubt, and credit to our youth football program. You know, they've had a lot of success the past few years, and that has a lot to do with the success that we're having now. You know, I think it's kind of worked its way up. Those kids had a lot of success in seventh and eighth grade, and you know, they do a great job, and they definitely are big supporters of everything we do at the youth level, and we're very closely connected. We've hired coaches from our youth programs. We have some of our guys working down there. So, you know, it's great it all around from top to bottom. You know, it's taken a long time to kind of get to that point for sure. You know, it was one of the biggest challenges that was presented to me when I first took over, but we got it to that point and I couldn't be more proud of it all.
Yeah. And coach, my last question, obviously, you know, Jake and Fabian, they're going to get most of the publicity but you mentioned before, like, you got some big boys up front. You got a lot of returning guys. How important, not just the quarterback, how important is it to have those guys up front returning? Because they've probably seen everything under the sun, so not too much to confuse those guys.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's the most important. It really is. You know, you can have the greatest skill talent in the world, but this isn't 7-on-7. You know, this is real football, so...
Right.
Having those guys up front and having the size that we have, that we maybe haven't had in past years, and just their work ethic. You know, they've been working their tails off since February, nonstop. And that crew, I've spent a lot of time myself with them. And, you know, they pride themselves in being kind of the last guys to leave. And that mentality, that mindset, and how the type of work that they put in, you know, the belief they have in each other, the chemistry that they have, they're a special group. And you know, they definitely are going to be kind of the heart and soul of our offense. And, you know, I know obviously you guys like Jake and our other receivers, running backs, you know, they're very appreciative of those guys and, you know, showing them a lot of love and giving them a lot of credit for sure.
Well, Coach, don't hang up. Dave's got more questions. Our last guest hung up. Best of luck this year. A lot of excitement in Danbury. Hasn't been there. You know, like, keep it going, Coach. You're doing a great job up there.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, Augie, as we finish up here, we got about a minute. You've got... Hold on a second here. I guess we don't have a minute. We're... Augie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Good luck, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good.
That was Augie Thierry. We're going to take a break, and we come back. New Canaan coach Lou Marinelli. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back. We're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. Lou Marinelli is going to be joining us momentarily. Sean, I wanted to ask Augie, and we had a little glitch, but how much harder is it when you're at a city school compared to some of the suburban schools that have a little bit more resources?
It is tough. And I'm not saying, every town, they have issues. They're different. You know what I mean? But it is, I would say it's a lot harder working in a city school than it is in the towns around us. You know, there's just things that we can't do that other towns can. One of the things that I think, I'm going to take one, what I was about to say back. I was going to say one of the things that we deal with us, Brian McMahon, West Hill, Stanford, anytime a kid has success, here comes the private schools coming in and, hey, why don't you come here? You know, and it just stinks, you know, you develop the kids and then they just get up and leave, it's happening around town. It's happening with other schools now as well. You know, kids are going to Brunswick and those schools. And, you know, it stinks, but it's the way of the world now, I guess.
Okay, well, it's kind of hard with leadoff show. I think he's been on the leadoff show every year. Hard not to have him. But his team has won 4 straight Class L championships, riding a 23-game winning streak, and they're the unanimous preseason choice, number one, and that's New Canaan. And joining us is the Rams coach, Lou Marinelli. Lou, how you doing? Lou? Hold on here. We got, there he
Hello?
Is.
Hello? Yeah, Lou. No, I said with that buildup, Dave, it's no pressure though, right?
None at all, but it shows the respect. Hey, before we talk, I want to get off on a good note, but I think my co-host may have a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
Sean,
how you doing? Well, wait, what kind of bones you got to pick with me, Sean?
I was telling Dave yesterday, my son, he's on the North High freshman team, and they went to the team camp to New Canaan. And I picked him up one night. We're driving. Like, oh, Jack, there's Coach Marinelli. So I pull up. You're talking with a parent. And I roll down the window. And the parent point, and you're just looking at me. I'm like, Coach, it's Sean Aaron. And you didn't know me. And Jack, he used some teenage term. He's like, Dad, you just got gaslit or something. He has no idea who you are. I'm like, Jack, trust me. He knows me.
Yeah, what'd you do, though? You grew a beard. So I didn't recognize you at first. He's absolutely right. I didn't say, who the heck is this guy? Right, so I apologize.
But the funniest part was in the car. Again, I don't know what term he used. It was gaslighter. I'm like, Jack, I don't even know what that means. He's like, he has no idea who you are. I'm like, trust me. He knows.
Tell your son that's not true. I know who you were, but it took me a second because of the different look.
Gone and forgotten. Gone and forgotten. That's what
No, you can never forget Sean. Never forget Sean. He did a great job over there.
Lou, What's it mean for your team? And you got a lot of turnover, but you got a lot of good talent back. What do you say to your team when you see you're the unanimous pick to finish number one?
So watch out. What does Nick Saban call it? Rat poison. So, I really haven't even mentioned it to our kids. I'm sure they see it. Pete, you got to go out and win games, and if you're going to be any good, and we have a really good group of kids. We went up to the West Point game yesterday. We took almost 80 kids out up there, and you watch those kids bond and stuff like that. So who knows what's going to happen? You never know. You hope. We hope we can continue it, just like every coach hopes that they continue to win and do the right things. Right now I'm enjoying the kids we have. We have some really good leaders. Our senior class has done a good job, with mentoring some of our younger kids. It's just fun. They're fun to be with. So, who knows where we're going to end up, and if we lose a game or two or three or whatever, I mean, it's nobody goes through life undefeated. We want to go through, the entire season if we can, but that's everybody's goal. So it's really no different. But to say, hey, look, we're number one. Oh, boy, everybody's shooting for us, blah, blah. It's all rat poison.
It sounds like from the talks we've had, you've been very happy with the way the preseason's gone.
Not bad. Yeah, not bad at all. You know, we've been lucky. The injury bug hasn't gotten us yet, and I'm sure it will down the line, as it does every year. But I mean, the kids are really into it. I mean, they've done a great job, wanting to continue. You know, the tradition has been set, and they've handed it over to this year's class, the class of 2027. And I think they want to do their part like the other teams. In last year's, the 2025 group, I mean, they were unbelievable. I mean, to go through that schedule undefeated, was saying a lot, they two of those kids are actually playing now in college. You know, Esposito was in the past two weekends for Villanova. Ryan Brooks, played, and Adrian Delicata, saw action in his first college game. And I'm not sure some of the kids in the NESCAC, I'm sure will be on special teams or be able to contribute. So, you have kids that, are good football players. And that always makes a great coach out of you.
It says something. You look at all the success that you've had there, and maybe it'll surprise people, but last year's undefeated season was the first one you've had since 2008. It's not easy to win every game.
No, especially in this league. When you're going up against Greenwich and St. Joe's and, Trumbull and, some of the teams that we go up against. Look at what Mitch has done at Fairfield Ludlow. It's a tough league. It's a tough league. You know, the Norwalk is coming back. I mean, they're going to be really good. You never know from one year to the next. I mean, our first two games are going to be killers. Trumbull and then Fairfield Prep. I mean, there's no walk in the park. And then down the road, and then look at Wilton. I mean, I haven't even mentioned them. I mean, they've done such a good job, bringing that program back. But you never know. At this point, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who has what. You're kind of feeling your way.
How much easier is it for you when you've got a return? This is the second time in a row you've had a two-year quarterback. How much of an advantage with Maddox Hoffman? And he just got better last year as the year went on. You look at him and you want to talk about an upward trajectory. That was certainly Maddox. But how much easier is it when your quarterback has got experience?
Oh, it's tremendous. And not only that, but he's a good mentor for our other quarterbacks, And, he's really come a long way. His arm strength has improved. And he's, one of our captains, and being a quarterback, he's really taken over and done a great job that way, with the other captains that, that we have. So it is a lot easier. But now, we can focus a little bit more time on the younger kids and try to bring them along,
Another one of my favorites is your linebacker, Jack Kroll, who he's just a winner. He's a winner in every sport, three sport. He just missed out on winning three state championships in all his sports last year between football, hockey, and they got to the finals in lacrosse. But he was part of that stud linebacker crew, and you got him back.
Right. And I think had we not had Brooksy as the other linebacker, I think he would have been all state and everything, and he just had to take a back seat to that to the senior. But I mean, he's a hell of a football player. He's around the ball all the time. But aside from that, he's also a good leader. He knows what other people are supposed to do, and that really is helpful. You talk about the quarterback helping out offensively. Well, Jack Kroll, defensively, he's a leader on the field, and he seems like he's in on every play, or if not in on a play, he's around it for sure. It's great to have kids like that. They make me look good. You know what I mean?
Hey, we got to take a quick break for a minute. Can you stick
sure,
around?
I'll hold.
Okay.
I'll hold, sure.
We'll be right back with Lou Marinelli. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
expert analysis, and all things high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back with New Canaan coach Lou Marinelli. Sean, jump on in.
Coach, question. So this senior class, I mean, they've been state champions, I believe, ever since they stepped into the school. How hard is it to get them to foot? Like, hey, guys, it's not as easy as you think. You know what I mean? Like, this is a new team, new year. How do you get them focused for this year, this team, and forget about what's happened in the past?
I don't think you can say, hey, if we don't win a state championship, it's a bad year or something like that. They know the pressure that they're under. But I will tell you this. We're lining up the captains in our game scrimmage against Daniel Hand. And the referee came over and he said, okay, where are you going to school? And, you know, Connor Furman says, well, I'm going to Harvard. Oh, I'm committed to Harvard. Then he went to, our quarterback. And he says, well, you know, I'm going to Northwestern to play baseball. I'm a catcher. And then, you know, he looks at Henry Regan. He says, what about you? Well, I'm going to Dartmouth. And then he went to Jackson Kroll. Well, I'm going to Princeton. And what about you, Charlie? Well, I've been offered at, Fordham and Lehigh. But I'm not really sure yet. But when you think about that lineup of captains, and one of the things that I've noticed over my years is that when you have smart kids, it makes it a lot easier. But to look so, 13 games ahead, we want to be there. We want to win. And, you know, we hope that we can. But you can't, we got to focus on Trumbull right now. You know, then we got to focus on the next opponent, who's Fairfield Prep, and then take it one at a time and see what develops. Because week by week, it's different. You know, it's different. Who gets hurt? Who has family issue? And you know, Sean, and I think you've dealt with so many different kinds of problems from week to week. So it's just fun coaching football. And especially coaching football, and one thing that, we talk about the kids, and we do have great kids. I have to tell you, we have absolutely great kids. But one thing that's not mentioned and is really the key, the secret sauce to our success, is our staff. You know, our staff has been with me for a while. I have, Frank Arcamone's been with me for, almost for 30 years. You got Chris Silvestri, who's played, was Gatorade Player of the Year. I have Scott Overbeck, who played for us and played at the University of North Carolina for Mac Brown. And Frank Rabasa we got from Trinity, who may be one of the best coaches I've ever seen as far as being in the secondary. I can go on and on about our staff, but I think that's really the secret sauce. Guys that enjoy coaching football. I mean, I think we all look forward to being there in the afternoon for 2 hours with the kids on a daily basis. So, I mean, I don't know whether that answers your questions. I know I went off on a tangent there, but it's fun for me to work with for these guys. And we have about 7 or 8 guys that played for New Canaan that are now back coaching. So, I mean, it's really a great, great scenario for me. It certainly has kept me in coaching.
Well, Coach, you just mentioned your staff. You know, best of luck this year. What you guys are doing over there, it's great. It's great for the sport. It's great for the league, and best of luck again this year.
Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks.
Lou, and you just touched on it, and I mean, you've always had a staff there over the years that you always have 4 or 5 guys who could be head coaches if they wanted to be. But the thing that always stands out to me is the kids you have. And you always say in December you want to win because you want to keep being around them. And that might sound a little trite to others, but it's really true because, you always have great players, but you always have great kids. And I just the way they even just interact with me, if they're doing it with me, they're doing it with everybody.
I've always said that, you know, there's something special about New Canaan kids. And people look at me like you're nuts. They're just like any other kids. I'm telling you, since the day I walked in 1981, it's a special place. It's a special town that's very supportive of its athletics. It's a special school with administrators that care. And the kids care. So, I mean, it's really a great situation. As long as I don't screw it up, it'll continue being a great situation. special place.
I think it's your youth football night's Fairfield prep game. I always say, and you could talk about it, if you want to know why New Canaan's had sustained success, come to youth football night at halftime. They bring all the kids out onto the field, and there are like 250, 300 kids. So you've got the numbers, but also just the way the high school program interacts with the youth football program, treats it as a feeder. Just talk a little bit about that and how much it's meant to your success.
Well, I look at our program from the third grade all the way through high school, all the way through 12. And the youth football throughout the years has been supportive and feeding us. I think our freshman team this year has like 45 kids on it. So when you keep sending those kids, those kinds of kids in that have played, and not to mention the Flag League has sent a number of kids in. So, I mean, the town really supports football, but it also supports the other sports as well. It's a special place, but you know our youth football program is certainly one of the tops in the state, and if not the Northeast or the country for that matter. They care. The parents do a great job of organizing it, and the board does a great job, and we work together on a lot of things. And you know, we run a camp for them. Our seniors will, you know, coach those kids up, and they'll wear their game jerseys so they know who they are. And I think it's the culture that we want to continue to have as we go forward, whether Lou Marinelli's there or not. And, you know, I really failed to mention, you know, our offensive coordinator, Jimmy Nugent, who's come to us by way of Carmel. And all he's done is won state championships since he's been here with an offense that has really been potent. I know that as I went through it on the commercial break, I forgot to mention him, which is really a mistake because he's been a big part of our success. Not to mention Eric Stevens, who we got from Trinity Catholic. And you know, I mean, when you have guys like that at work that like to work with kids, many of them teachers, I think it really helps. I kind of went off track there, but I think our youth program has been great. You know, giving us like 45 freshmen that want to play, and then we have 2 eighth grade teams, and we have multiple teams on 7th and 6th and 5th. So it's great, and I think every kid in New Canaan should play football, whether it be from their youth experience or having never played. I think football teaches them so much, you know, about life and about handling life's curveballs. At least that's really what it's all about. You know, the wins are great and all that, but you hope that they leave us better prepared to handle life's curveballs. I think that's really what it's all about.
All right. Well, Lou, nobody's done it better in Connecticut, and you've got some more milestones to hit this year. So Trumbull, tough game to open, but good luck with them, and thanks so much for taking the time here talking with us.
Yeah, certainly. And just a little bit about Trumbull. We're going up against one of the best, if not the best coach in the state of Connecticut, in Mars Petrasio. And his staff, you know, they do a great job, you know, and they do a great job with the personnel that they have. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full, I'm sure. But I appreciate the time. Love to talk football with you anytime. So I appreciate you putting me on. Thank you.
No, thanks a lot, Lou. Good luck on Thursday night.
Thanks. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
it'll be interesting.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks
a lot. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Coach.
Take care, Sean. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Sean, good first show in the books. Got a lot of good games to look forward to on Thursday night, and we'll have a lot to discuss next Sunday.
Yeah, can't wait. The season's here.
All right, that was this week's episode of Sunday Morning Quarterback. We were brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food served fast. Get out to the stadiums on Thursday. Have a fun night. We'll see you next week.